Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is May 29th, 2017. We're almost halfway through this year. I can't believe it. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing our station. Thank you for sharing my radio show. I believe that this is one of the few shows you can actually hear on a regular basis, activists and people who are out there facing reality. And in that venue, I wanted to bring on Barry Prince. He's the host of a radio show. Barry, why don't you introduce your radio show and tell people how to find you? Many people already know you who are listening, but why don't you tell them how to find you?
Oh, yeah, Lonnie. Good morning. Thanks for having me in. I do a show on Wednesday night on HaggyShackRadio.com called The Big Puzzle. And I'm on once a week from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time. So you can find me there. And I'm also on Facebook under The Big Puzzle and just setting up a YouTube channel right now as we speak, actually. So
that's
trying to get
awesome.
A few more avenues out there.
Yeah. Is it going to be called The Big Puzzle?
It'll be called The Big Puzzle.
Great. I'll subscribe for sure. Well, today is Memorial Day in the United States. And on today, I really want to give a shout out and a thank you to all of the conscientious objectors out there. I really appreciate you. I am grateful that you do not edify war, that you understand the necessity that in order for us to end war, we have to stop pulling the trigger. So I really appreciate the conscientious objectors, and I know the sacrifices you have made for your country, and it has not gone unnoticed. So just want and actually, I want to thank the soldiers who I believe have foolishly thrown themselves into danger for oil money. But they were naively believing they are protecting our country, and I want to thank them, too. But I really appreciate the people who stand up and say no. So welcome to the show, Barry.
Always a pleasure.
I'm sure you didn't expect that. Most people always forget about our conscientious objectors. They made big sacrifices. I have a friend of mine who his parents never talked to him again when he refused to go to Vietnam. His whole family rejected him. That is a sad thing. He did not connect until we met. And, I was reconciling with my family. And I said, look, just reach out to them. Like, they're gone. Your parents are gone. Reach out to your siblings. And he has rekindled it. So this is one of the things I'd like to get your take on.
Lonnie, it's an absolute travesty what really goes on with war. I mean, that's a subject we could get into and talk for hours. I don't think we want to get into that one today. I know I want to focus on a few of the current events happening with nuclear around the States. And I wanted
to
talk a little bit.
Well, I will tell you one thing that is happening with nuclear.
Yeah, but really quick, my thoughts on war, Lonnie, Vietnam was propagated by a false flag attack. The Gulf of Tonkin incident. I've studied it and looked into it. And you know what? We went to a war over there that we had no business in, and it was fabricated. And 64,000
American
men lost. Well, they all are.
Is, I mean, this is
we
got to
stop going to wars. We got to stop saying.
You just stop pulling the trigger. People go, no, we're not going to. And like me, when I was in L.A. raising two kids on my own, I refused to work for Raytheon and make $60,000 a year. I could have easily walked into a job and gotten $45,000, $60,000 a year, worked for Raytheon. I instead had to work two jobs. You know what I mean? And I mean, until I learned this profession, the whole thing about how we build our culture, our economy, I just watched a movie called Banking Nature for school. And it's, you can't just get it on the internet. It's some educational documentary, right? And these guys are talking about mitigation banking and monetizing nature. Mm-hmm. And this is what they're doing in the nuclear industry. They're monetizing our lives. Everything on the planet has a monetary value. This book that I'm reading on my YouTube channel, Carl Grossman, he talks about they actually do how many gigawatts per death is this going to cost? They have accountants who do that. That's outrageous.
Wow. Well, I wonder what my value is. Can I find out?
Well, obviously not that much. I mean, we're like on the bottom rung of the ladder, right? So, but this is the point. They think they're special. They think their kids are going to be able to make it for a few. And yes, they will for a few more generations. But you know what? It's not going to last because Gaia, Mother Earth, the universe, whatever it is, this action of love that goes on here, it's going to say no, because I really believe the power of love is greater than the evil. And I guess that's what I call my spirituality, because how we live on this earth, there's so much love, so much beauty. Today's Memorial Day, and people are out there giving honor. Widows are weeping, mothers, fathers. People are sad today because they lost children. And it goes back to this nuclear thing. This is why we're on the radio. We're talking about it. You and I weren't. We didn't grow up and go, oh, gee, when I get it older, when I should be going out and having fun, I'm going to be on the radio talking about the nuclear lies. Just the lies. The insanity that goes on with this. Mm. What part of the world, how close are you to nuclear facilities? And what's your exposure, Barry? Because we're very far apart. I never asked you that.
You know what? We're very, very lucky in the sense that we don't have any nuclear power plants up in northern British Columbia here. The closest nuclear power plants to me are down in the lower mainland, Vancouver Island. There's a couple down there, but in British Columbia, north, up here, we're basically out of the zone of nuclear power plants. But that's irrelevant, Lonnie. You know
what
that. I know that. It doesn't matter.
Fukushima? Don't you get first? Aren't you like, boom?
Hey, listen, Lonnie, it don't matter that I'm up here out of the nuclear, away from nuclear power plants, when some of these geological events that I honestly believe are about to happen on this planet, and we start seeing some shaking in San Madre, New Madre fault line, however you want to describe. I've heard it called lots of different things. But boy, I'll tell you, that right now is absolutely ticking, ticking time bomb. It's unbelievable, the potential just in that fault zone alone. And, you know, I've studied the map of nuclear power plants in the United States. I've studied it extensively. And, of course, most of the concentration of nuclear power plants are up the San Madre on the east coast of the United States. Very, very few on the West Coast compared to the East Coast. But the potential for that one fault zone right now, it blows my mind. It absolutely boggles my mind that the human race is literally, I mean, I'm absolutely in agree with you, Lonnie. Love is the most powerful weapon that we have in this world. And what's in your soul right now, I believe, is the most important thing, because we are really, without sounding like a fear-mongering type of guy, because I haven't done as much studying as you have, but the amount of information that I've looked at for the potential on that fault line alone, it boggles my mind. It just boggles my mind that the human race has got their finger on a button that can wipe out life on this planet. And
you
know,
the
love
New
is powerful.
The one that's going to go right down the heart of, you know what's going to happen? It's actually going to all crack, because the San Andreas, the New Madras, they're linking them up. That's the benefit. See, this for them was the win-win. I mean, people go, oh, wow, you're a conspiracy theorist, aren't you? And I'm like, no, I just look at the logical facts. They started fracking where they knew the New Madras fault was. They're linking it up. They're creating the U to the San Andreas fault. They're going to go bye-bye, because that's where all the nuclear stuff is, all the big bad stuff. They're going to put it in the ocean.
Unbelievable, Kalani. You know that, you know, all these underground facilities that have this nuclear waste being stored right now, the short-sightedness of the human race, not us, but the people that are behind the curtains. We will just call them the guys behind the curtains, but it's absolute insanity because, you know, they're going to be affected by this just as much as you and I are. Right now, like I said on many, many, many shows, I think the biggest challenge facing the human race right now is to eliminate nuclear power.
You know what you got to do? I recommend this book to everybody. I've been trying to think of the title of this book for weeks. I've mentioned it here and there and couldn't pick the name up. It's called The Canticles of Leibowitz. It's a science fiction book. It's an old book, but man, I'm going to tell you what, this whole scenario, like this is the weird thing about these science fiction books. They sort of use them as operating manuals. I mean, it's so weird, you know, like George Orwell wrote 1984, Brave New World, Aldous Huxley wrote those books. And that is how our governments are running. They're like, oh, that's a great idea. I was like, really? Do you know what I mean? It's like, honestly, this is why I'm really against these negative projections of like the video games. My grandson tried to bring Halo into my house and I was washing dishes. And he's like, what? I'm like, unplug that thing. That thing gets out of my house now. He's like, what? I'm saving her. And I'm like, no, we're not even having that scenario. The things that cause that, no. If you bring that, whatever you bring into your thoughts, like this is why it's really important for us. If we have a chance in hell, it's going to be because we know we can make it and we refuse their paradigm. That's what I mean when I say their paradigm isn't my paradigm, because we are going to create something different through love, through manifesting a different way. Young men will say, no, I'm not going to pull the trigger. And I'm going to defend and stand up to the crazies. And if I have to give my life, which I thank the two men in Portland who did give their lives. And I mean, on Memorial Day, I feel like they are soldiers in life also. And the one who got wounded. And you want to know what? I have to say, this brings me chills. That my daughter called me all upset the day it happened. Turns out this guy had been stalking her about 4 years ago. She never told me. And he stalked several of her girlfriends. And one of the people killed was the best friend of one, was a really good friend of one of her friends. So in Portland, it's a small city. People are affected and we have to find better ways of dealing with it. But you know what? On Memorial Day, I think it's important for us to like remember that everybody's standing up for justice. This is like, we have to just start saying no to war. War profiteering cannot be our path. And it starts with people saying, I'm not taking those jobs. I'm not going to work for you. I'm not pulling the trigger. I'll find another way to go do it. Build a different industry and I'll come work for you. Figure out a way, build a way, find a way to employ me so we can fix our planet. You know, I mean, imagine if they just sold a solution for one penny a person on the planet. That company would have billions of dollars every year.
I guess the question is,
until their victims all died off. So who cares? I mean, we're already their victims. I really like, I want to go from like survivor to thriver. And this is why I say the guillotines don't work. We need them to come up with the solutions. We have to like just let it go. And honestly, we have to change how we function. And people have to say no to war because this is what it's bringing us. The nuclear thing is war.
But you know, the problem is, Lonnie, you know, a vast majority of the population doesn't seem to care. They're living in a little dream world where they believe that everything is fine.
Yeah. It's not that they don't know. Care. So they don't know. If they know, they care because that's when they go out.
I don't know about that, Lonnie. I kind of got a little bit of a pushback against that. Because anybody that's got any kind of brain can go on the information, go on the internet in 2 hours, find some incredibly disturbing information. And I'm sure people are aware that things are really messed up in our world right now. But still, I see a vast majority of the population going about their lives, not really paying attention to this at all. To me, what we're talking about right now are the most important issues that we can talk about in our lifetime. because, you know, really, Lonnie, honestly, I have to, myself, I think about nuclear power. I look at everything that's going on right now in the world with nuclear power, the effects it's having on our planet, and right. the potential in the very, very near future. My urgency in my life right now is that I'm trying to get across to people that we really have to grab this whole issue of nuclear and set it aside. It has to be eliminated from the planet because the potential is just absolutely mind-boggling, and we're only really now starting to see the negative effects of the proliferation of nuclear power. It's only been on the planet for 70 years. I read reports now. You know, every day I read reports, Lonnie, and I try to vet this information because there's so much bullcrap out there. And one example of that is I read a report that the Spokane Indian Reservation was not drinking their groundwater because of detections of plutonium in their groundwater.
Of course. Yes. 15,000.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. I vetted that information. I phoned the chief of the Spokane Indian Reservation, and I had a 20-minute conversation with him 2 days ago. I got on the internet, found the phone numbers, left a message. The gentleman returned my call, and I asked him directly. I said, "Have you heard of plutonium in your groundwater?" And his answer to me was no, he hadn't heard of it. So if this information is out there, they're not aware of it. And if somebody was aware of it on the reservation,
What story did you read? I don't think it's good to. Go ahead.
I read two articles about that, and I wanted to find out if it was true. So I went on the internet, punched in Spokane Indian Reservation, got numbers, and got in touch with the head honcho down there.
Yeah, but that man may not want to say it publicly. You can't go by that. Did you talk? Look at the story? Did you find the documentation? I mean, who wrote the story? Did you write the author and say, hey, where'd you get that fact? Sourced, right?
That's one route I haven't gone yet. I haven't gone that route. But I went this route just to find out.
Because it's highly probable. Let's be real. We're talking about the chief of a nation. Do you think he's going to tell the world that, yes, my land is full of plutonium right away? Like, look at what the source is. I mean, everything plutonium, everything nuclear has been a secret. You think they don't know? Have you seen that movie, Crying Earth Rising Up? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Documentary? Oh my God, I'll send you the link. And you can find it on Amazon, I think. She's going to come on here during the summer. I saw this on PBS, and I actually DVR'd it and kept it. Because it's really, there's a woman who is living in North Dakota, Wyoming, where there's doing the extraction of uranium mines and fracking. They're doing fracking in uranium mines. And this lady's daughter was born very ill. And this documentary follows her life. They know up there. So that's my point, Barry. We have got to break the meme. But find your source. Like, find your source. It could be that area, could not be. So maybe it's right. Maybe that particular tribe, they don't have it. But you know what I mean? Different nations have them. I mean, it is well documented. Go to the EPA website, and they'll tell you where the uranium mines is. And then look, this is how I found out, is I just went to Donna Gilmore shared that with me. Just, you know what? Just go to what the government says. It's bad enough to what they admit.
Okay, well, I'll go that route, Lonnie. It's just one road I went the other day to try to vet this information.
Well, you know, I'm glad we have this conversation on the air, because you and I both recommend that everybody listening to this show do the same. Don't take our word for it. If what we say alarms you, good, because we need to be alarmed.
Like, boy, do we ever.
Said, you're not being alarmist. I'm like, well, no, but there is an emergency going on. We have to talk about it. We can't just pretend nothing's going on.
Yeah, well, you know what? Education is the most important thing, Lonnie. And I really believe that if a majority of the population knew the potential in the near future due to nuclear power, I think you'd hear a major outcry. The thing is, you know, Lonnie, we do have the technology to replace it today. And that's the thing that just, you know, boggles my mind, is the fact that we can replace nuclear power. We don't need it. And it can be eliminated. And I feel an urgency right now because, basically, the reason I feel an urgency is because I study geological events I'm studying the rise in earthquake activity right now worldwide. We are seeing unprecedented earthquake activity right now all around the planet. And if they're coming in swarms, and I was...
Well, you guys had a bunch of swarms up where you were.
Yeah, up in Alaska. Alaska, like, they just had major swarms. And in Europe, they just had major swarms. In California, you've had major swarms of...
Down by the Salton Sea, right?
The whole fault line. What they're worried about right now, Lonnie, and, you know, I do watch Dutch Sense. I follow a couple other sites. I never take anybody's information for absolute truth. But Dutch Sense is one guy that I follow because of his accuracy in his predictions. And right now, the one to really watch is the Cascadia fault line. The potential for that fault line, I think we've talked about it before, Lonnie, but it's, you know, a lot of people, believe it or not, have never even heard of the Cascadia fault and the potential it has to absolutely decimate the west coast of the United States of America and Canada. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. And then I look at the nuclear power plants that are in striking zones of these tsunamis that are going to be created when this Cascadia goes. It is going to go. And they're watching that one very, very closely right now. Dutch was actually talking about it last night because of the pressure buildups on both sides of the Cascadia. They're not seeing movement right on that line right now. And three of the experts, I consider experts, are pushing the alarm bells right now.
Yeah, because usually when there's no movement, that's kind of a scary thing, usually, to be honest.
Yeah, well, they're experiencing what they call a slow slip right now on the faults. The plates are actually doing what they call a slow slip. And this same thing happened in 2012, and it created a 7.4 off the west coast of British Columbia. But they're saying this one right now is four times as big. The duration of the slow slip is four times as big. It encompasses four times a landmass that the one that in 2012 created that 7.4. They're calling for, Dutch is calling and warning right now for a possible 8.2.
Oh my gosh.
Oregon or on the Cascadia itself. And if we do get an 8.2 on the Cascadia,
is that what Dutch is saying right now? I haven't watched Dutch.
I was listening to his forecast here for.
When did he say this?
And he's really.
When did he say this?
In the next. Well, he made that prediction on the 28th, which was yesterday, or 27th, excuse me.
And he said how many days? Usually three.
He's calling within a seven day window on his prediction.
Wow.
Is what Dutch usually, he'll narrow it down sometimes to 3 or 4 days, but his study of earthquake and how the plates work is absolutely mind-boggling. He's really kind of got it down to a fine art now. He's not 100% accurate, nobody is, but I believe his accuracy predictions in the last 4 months is running around 80%, which is a pretty good percentage.
You know what that would do to
if he was talking to me. If
do you have any idea the danger the entire Northern Hemisphere is in because of Hanford? Hanford is 15 miles away from Columbia Generating Station. Even if they put it into cold shutdown on time, if they can't, I mean, honestly, the danger to Hanford after that collapse of that 18, that was an 18-foot length tunnel, not 360. That just meant a sixth of it. It's full. And those are open casket trains.
What do they do? Fill them full of dirt.
Your nuclear waste.
It's all good.
Yes, they're all full of uranium. They're all full of stuff. They're all highly toxic. And if that earthquake falls, this is the thing we've talked about. If anything happens, you can't get in there for 2 full weeks. Those things, the scientists say that it's highly likely, but not always probable, that those things might spontaneously combust and be into a fire that will take about 100,000 years to just get out.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, North America.
Well,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye, world. It would be so much radiation, Lonnie, that it would kill the planet.
Yes.
And that sounds crazy, but it's true.
It would be a long...
So this is why we need to, I guarantee,
thank you for coming on. This was quite timely. I honestly have had my head in work and doing school. I have not checked Dutch's site for about, I don't know, 5 days about earthquakes. I do pay attention because Dutch's predictions are about at least 80% right.
Yep,
I mean,
that's what he's running.
He's really high. He has, you know what? He has actually changed the science on geology on its head with his study that it's not the way we were taught in school. He's right. It is the other way, and it's extremely predictable. That's how he came up with it. He didn't have like some harebrained idea. He was just going logically, huh, what if it was the other way around? And guess what? It is right.
Yep. Well, Dutch really studies pressure and how it interacts. And he's really, you know, I mean, I take my hat off to the guy because I believe he's actually been responsible for saving lives, because he has issued warnings about certain areas in the world, and people listening to his show have actually taken precautions. So I'm sure he's responsible for saving at least one or two lives in his time.
Let's see if anybody on Facebook is warning people about it.
There's all kinds of, there's incredible warnings out right now on Facebook. If you go onto YouTube and look at earthquake production or predictions, every site right now is screaming at the top of their lungs about the effects of solar activity, the effects of pressure moving around the world, the amount of earthquakes, what these swarms of small earthquakes represent, and the depth of these small earthquakes. It's all a science, but boy, we're seeing incredible earthquake activity right now. And, you know, a lot of people that are in it are saying that the United States is going to experience some awfully big ones here in the next very short period of time. Nobody wants to nail it down to a specific, but they're all saying in the next very short period of time, whatever that means, Lonnie.
Do you know this newspaper called EdmundsBeacon.com?
I've heard of it. Okay. I think I've looked at it actually one time.
Yeah. There's a story, May 18, 2017, Puget Sound under pressure. Edmunds FEMA chief warns of dangers to come.
Well, there are people all over the world right now are screaming this, Lonnie. I mean, you got a good, the problem with the internet is there's a lot of people that play on the fear factor. They want to ramp it up. They want to exaggerate truths. But if you really get down to the bottom of it right now and get to the factual information, the USGS is not exposing a lot of the earthquake activity on the world right now, but there's other sites that you can go to that will bring you up to date on everything that's happening. If you look at it, you'll see that the concentration of earthquakes are on, of course, the Ring of Fire. And the word for the fault line in the middle of Europe and Asia, I forgot the name of it, so you have to excuse me, but the concentration is right down the center of that fault line. And they're experiencing swarms, like massive swarms,
they
10,
just
20, 30. And they're all, yeah, they're having them all the time. If you go on to Dutch's live site, which is 24 hours a day, and I tell people to do this, every 10, 15 minutes, the bell's going off right now. I'm trying to get to, I was, before we got on the show here, I was trying to quickly go to a chart on the exact rise in frequency in earthquakes worldwide in the last 2 years. But I know it's spiraling, that the acceleration in earthquakes is really kind of getting off the charts right now. And where it's all going, I'm not exactly sure, but I think we're in for some pretty interesting times coming up. But like I said, Lonnie, you know, the thing that really, of all things that drives me nuts in this world is that we, through our complacency, we, through being manipulated by governments over the years, have allowed them to build all these nuclear power plants right on top of fault lines. It's like we're defying Mother Nature, going, hey, you ain't going to move again. You ain't going to create another 8.2 magnitude earthquake because we've built this nuclear power plant now, and we are telling you it ain't going to happen. Well, these events are going to happen. And that one in the center of the States, the San Madre, you know, in 1811 and 1812, you know, it created three earthquakes all over the 8 magnitude in a 4-month period. Well, if that same event was to happen today, the devastation to the United States of America, folks, would be complete. The devastation to the world, because the potential for nuclear fallout from all these nuclear power plants, like, oh my God, you know, we've just seen what Fukushima, we've seen what Chernobyl, we've seen what all these other ones are starting to do to the world. My God, Lonnie, when these big ones all start going off and we get all these earthquakes, these power plants are going to melt down, and we're going to cover this world in nuclear radiation. And I go, man, what an insane world we live in. It just boggles my mind. It really does. It's like we're poking the devil, saying, hey, you can't do this, but he's gonna make these fault lines are going to move. And right now we're seeing an incredible buildup in earthquake activity. And when couple of these big ones start going off, Lonnie, what's going to happen to the other ones that are all sitting on the edge right now?
Well, it's really, this is the thing.
It's scary.
We need to just be prepared because this is the point. It's not about frightening people. It's about letting people know.
I'm not trying to frighten anybody,
Lonnie.
Something
is going to happen. This is the thing. And the signs are all here. The earthquake is happening. I'm glad you're telling us because, honestly, I do follow Dutch for that reason because I know I live in an earthquake zone. I know that I'm right next door. My daughter's in Portland. My other daughter's in Salem. So we're, we've talked about, I'm going to give them a call because this could, we could seriously, let me put it to you this way. Chuck Johnson's organization, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, worked with another organization to hire some geologists. This was 2013, because there had been rumors that Columbia Generating Station had an earthquake fault under it. So they hired geologists, did a two-year study, and indeed, they found three. The state of Washington kind of got annoyed with it and said, we're going to do our own. Guess what? They found eight or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the licensee lied and knew they were sitting on top of an earthquake zone and lied on their license. And yet the NRC said that's not enough to suspend the license and close them down.
It's insanity. It really is. And you know what,
Lonnie? And you know what's scary? If they were shut down, Hanford might not be in such great risk. But if they're functioning and they can't cope with an earthquake, which they cannot after 6.6, frankly, they bumped it up. It was designed for a 4.0. But since Fukushima, they bumped it up, said we made big changes to it and it's stronger so it can go to 6.6. Okay. But you know what? The size of the earthquake that's overdue underneath that earthquake fault that the Washington State scientists found out?
Yeah, I know. I read that.
9.0 or greater.
Yeah, they estimated anywhere
minimum 7.0, but likely 9.0.
Yeah, the report I read was minimum 7.8, as high as a 9.0.
Yes.
It's going to strike that area. Well, what happens to that 6.6? These nuclear power plants are going to crumble, and the same thing's going to happen all over this planet. And boy, I'll tell you, if
and
there
you
was
know
ever
what?
A universe.
Unless
really,
there's an explosion, they're not going to tell us. They won't tell us unless something can be seen. If it's like those tanks up there in Hanford, tell me 40 miles of trenches of open tanks seeping into the groundwater and no one ever knew. Come on.
What about the 1,000 at Fukushima that are starting to leak now? The tanks they built to store the most radioactive water in the world, and they got a 5-year shelf life. I'm going, what?
Barry, didn't you see that this is actually, I have not verified it, which is why I haven't talked about it, but I read a story in the Japanese, from a Japanese online thing, that said that the Diet approved a plan for them to turn the waste into the ocean. So they're going to empty those tanks. Yes, they're going to empty the tanks. Because they can no longer store them. So they're going to empty the ones that have been, quote, decommissioned or sitting there long enough. So they're going to throw the water away. That's how they're going to do it. They're going to clean the oldest ones. Now, I haven't had – this was kind of like the guy's summation of what the thing was. It wasn't they're just going to dump it out. But in their heads, they're going to put it through. The oldest standing ones are going to be transferred, cleaned up, and dumped out.
No,
all bullshit. You know what I mean? I haven't talked about it because I haven't had the time to verify the story.
Yeah, I would verify that. I would verify that.
My guess is it's going to be true. I'll be honest. If they are not already. Honestly, the life of me, I can't understand that they would not be doing that already because they don't care. Look what they're doing already. I mean, what they're putting in the tanks is nothing about what's going down the drain. They're sitting on top of a river.
I know.
You know what I mean, they're having to cool it down continually. Yes, they pour clean water continually on it. They're constantly pouring water on it, right? But what goes down in the river is more toxic than what's in those tanks. I mean, it's crazy. These people are so insane. The whole thing. Anyways,
the question is, what do we do about it, Lonnie?
Well, I think on the West Coast, Barry, I think we need to get prepared in the next day or so. Like, I'm going to call my children. I'm going to call people. I'm going to make a post. on the No Nukes Northwest page that people need to know. We're kind of under an earthquake watch, and we have big active faults, and people need to get serious, get their earthquake gear in place, know where their stuff is, be prepared for an earthquake within the next 48 hours. If it doesn't happen, okay, great. But we are under an earthquake alert. And really, yep. We ought to do that. It's really ridiculous when we see the signs, and it does look like it's being warned. And the reason I bring up the Puget Sound, this internet story, is that it's not, it's called the edmundbeacon.com, is because it's not just Dutch. It's not just us crazy YouTubers going, oh, we're freaking out, freaking everybody out. We really are living in a very highly dangerous place. Hate to say it, folks, but this is like, it's a beautiful place, but we're super screwed between Hanford because of the nuclear stuff. If it wasn't for the nuclear stuff, the earthquake would be hard enough.
Yeah, if it wasn't for nuclear power, the Earth would just do what it's been doing for the last 10 million years, Lonnie. It's gone through these cycles. We've gone through colds. We've gone through hots. We've gone through ice ages. We've gone through times on the Earth where the Earth was so hot you couldn't go outside. The Earth has been doing what it's been doing for millions of years, but the problem now is that we've unleashed the sun on the planet, and you cannot unleash the sun on the planet and not expect to get burned, and we're just starting to see the effects, really the widespread worldwide effects of nuclear power on our planet. So to me, if there was ever a one issue that the human race should, if we can educate people, the human race should be rallying against and standing against and screaming at the top of our lungs to our so-called elected officials who are supposed to have our best interest in mind, that this has got to come to a stop, that all nuclear power plants have to be put down into a shutdown mode. It's going to take years to shut them down. And what's going to happen in that time frame, seeing the geological events we're seeing right now? I really kind of ask myself, do we have time to face these issues? Well, I believe we do if the human race really got on all government officials and said, hey, every nuclear power plant, we don't care if we have to go back to lighting candles in our house because we have nothing if we don't have life on the planet. And we're not even talking, that's just one issue of attacks on our world.
I agree with you.
Chemtrails,
the
GMOs.
The only thing I would say is this, it's not that we should take action, we must take action.
We have to.
Every person
you love your children,
must.
You got to take action, Lonnie. You have to.
We have to stop the war machine.
This whole secret
government, the war machine, say no. Like, people have got to really just be the change. Like, you just have to say, like you said, if we have to go back to having candles and making our own candles, okay. But it's not worth destroying the planet. We're really grave already. If we shut down the nuclear power facilities and something happens at Hanford or on the Earth, it might be able to sustain it. We might be able to get lucky and get through it. And then we could figure out how to deal with the contamination we already have.
Yeah, you know what, Lonnie? I think there's enough brilliant minds in this world right now. If they were unleashed on the problem of dealing with nuclear waste, I mean, you've had Shaziz on your show. And, you know, he tells me, like, and I have a lot of respect for what that man says. And I honestly believe there's a way that all nuclear waste can be taken and made into energy, because you're dealing with a power. You're dealing with nuclear isotopes that are interacting with each other. And I'm not a nuclear scientist, but I believe the humans were, you know, so educated enough that we could create it. In our short-sightedness, we haven't been able to figure out a way to shut them down.
Oh, they have. Look, this is the issue.
But
this
I think we could deal with the nuclear waste.
This is what's being exposed. The people that are running the show, they know all this. They are doing it on purpose. We are assets on a balance sheet. We really are a number. It's gigawatts per death, remember? And this is what we're up against. But you know what? There's more of us than them. And if everybody stood up and said, wait a minute, this is not right. We're not willing to give up the planet so that you can have nuclear weapons. That's really what nuclear plants equals nuclear weapons. Let's just be clear. That's what they produce.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the history, yeah, you'll find out.
That's what, and it really, we really just have to say, you know what? We're not doing it. But if we may not, this is the interesting thing. We may not have, we obviously don't have a choice. We're doing it, baby.
Well, you know, I really, it comes down to educating. I believe it's educating the young people and trying to get their minds wrapped around the potential that if we don't put a stop to this, that their future is not a very bright one. And I don't like to say that, but I have to be realistic about what I see dying, how our planet is dying right now, how I see an incredible spiral in die-off events of species all around the planet. Yeah. It is absolutely beyond. And I've been studying and watching this for about 4 years now, Lonnie, the die-off of species in our planet and the acceleration of mass die-off events that are being reported around the planet. And one of the things that I have done, because like I said, there's a lot of bull crap out on the internet now and a lot of people playing up stories. Every one of these die-off events that I look at, I've gone to the source and I find out that it's a reputable source, that this is being reported on mainstream media outlets in every country involved, yet you don't see it being talked about on mainstream in North America. They don't even hit on the subject. Once in a while, they'll report about birds dropping, or you'll hear a little bit on the news about fish dying, but it's
or the whale
put away right. Yeah, or the whales, the amount of whales that are dying, or the fact that dolphins are beaching themselves all over the world, and that whales are beaching themselves all over the world right now at unprecedented numbers. And if you think I'm lying, go take a look at World Wildlife. Take a look at their numbers. Look at NOAA's numbers. I have. Look at all the numbers that are out there. And what I'm telling you is true, that we are seeing an incredible die-off. Well, you know, the food chain is a miraculous mechanism that was created by my creator. I'll leave it at that. But you know, the food chain can only sustain so many pieces of it being taken away before that food chain is going to collapse.
Well, when
that is somewhere we don't want to go. We don't want to go there, Lonnie. But we're getting close.
In Vietnam, massive die-offs. This was just May 14th. Massive die-offs of fish, oysters, clams, and shrimp. And then you see massive mega swarm of die-offs never seen before in whales. A mega swarm. Mm-hmm. Thousands, tons. Large die-off in British Columbia. Huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge massive die-offs of fish.
Yeah. And when you look at it's not the being reported. It should be talked.
They don't talk about it. It's on the internet. These are all reliable sources reporting it. This is the thing. It's about people understanding and connecting that these mass die-offs are not normal. What's happening is they're considered, oh, well, fish always have die-offs. There's always die-offs around the world. This is how people are brainwashed to think that that's normal. That if you talk about it, you're just being hyperbolic and you're freaking out over something. But people don't understand that this is the fastest extinction that's ever been tracked on the planet. There have been 6 mass extinctions. The life die-off of mammals is fat, taking an animal life. Crustacean and mammals, those were the two it said. Mm-hmm. But the mammals were taking a nosedive faster than any other species in any of the other extinctions this time around. Mm-hmm.
That's why I was going to get to that point, Lonnie. That's one of the points I was going to make, is that we are experiencing the fastest and the biggest mass die-off of species that science can put their fingers on based on studies of the past. And you're right, there has been mass die-offs, and you know, asteroids have struck the planet and the planet's gone like into ice ages, and the planet's done all kinds of weird things. The planet's gone into mass volcanic activity periods where basically the sun is blacked out. Yellowstone has erupted twice in the recorded history that they can put their finger on, or 3 times I should say, and that alone, you know, killed basically all surface life on the planet. But life did survive. But the difference between then and now is that we're dealing with the nuclear issue, and it's all over the planet. You look at the amount of nuclear power plants that are operating on the planet today, and then you calculate the amount of geological events that could happen and where they are in resemblance to these plants, and you just got to be going like, what are we doing as a human race? We're committing suicide, and we're allowing this suicide to be perpetrated. It boggles my mind that people can't
suicide.
See it.
I beg your pardon. We
okay,
are not.
Okay. This is the powers to be. We're allowing suicide to be done to
us. They're genociding us. They are killing us. It's omnicide. They're killing everything on the planet. It's not just human life. They're destroying all life.
Because our complacency is allowing this to happen. So we're killing ourselves. Lonnie, so call it genocide, call it suicide, okay? I'll agree with you. It is. It's happening. That's
the well. It's kind of like the battered wife syndrome. It was a woman who stays with her batterer, a suicidal person. I don't think so. I think that they don't see an option to get out. A lot of women get murdered by their husbands because they think that would never happen. Just like a lot of people who are, to be honest, this is why I guess I defend that so much, because I was like that. I remember it really, my faith was shaken when the election was stolen by Bush and nobody did anything. I couldn't believe the Black Caucus stood up and nobody stood up with them. It was obvious. And then Fukushima happened and Barack Obama told us everything was great. Don't worry about it. We're fine. And I was like, oh, thank God he's president. I was so happy, to be honest. And then I had that nightmare about a year later. And I'm like, say what? And I was like, wow, man, that's when it broke. And I'm like, wow. And the more I dug into it myself, I did research. I mean, I pulled up scientific studies, things that on how they did things and what was being talked about. And honestly, they are so intentionally deceptive. It's unbelievable. It's outrageous, and it is well known. So why would they do this? This is what I think about, Barry. What is the take on this? And whatever the take is, it doesn't. That's what I decided. Whatever their take is, it doesn't matter. Their paradigm is not mine. Like on Memorial Day, I mean, I feel sad for military families who have lost their children and for the veterans who've like come home mangled. Like, this is the hard part about the modern war, is that instead of massive deaths because the guys died from bad medicine and they can't fix them, they come back. Yeah, but their lives are not the same. Their body parts are blown off or their brain is messed up or something happens to them. People do not come back from war the person that they were. You cannot make a person go out and do acts of war, which we collectively agree are okay during war because that's what we have to do. Suck it up. Like, I 100% vehemently, 100% disagree with that. To the core of my being, I think that harms everything on our planet.
Well, we're in a kind of an interesting time, I think, in human history, where we really do have to kind of look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves really what's important, kind of a legacy we're leaving for our children. And I asked myself then, am my children going to be able to experience what I've experienced in my 62 years on this planet? And I can't say yes right now. And that disturbs me. But you know what, Lonnie, there is answers. And one of the things I talk about with such passion, get to incredible conversations with people about, is, of course, cannabis and what it can do to this planet if we could embrace it worldwide.
The phytoremediation.
Unbelievable.
That could
it would literally,
it
you know,
absorbs
Lonnie,
it, boom, like that. It's
the
true.
microbes that, just one example of the microbes that cannabis release from the soil when it's grown because of the root systems, is just one example of things I could talk about for an hour, literally, about what it could do to reverse everything that we're doing that's negative to this planet. I mean, we're deforesting the planet at incredible rates. It has to come to a stop. Everything we're doing to destroy the planet has to be reversed. And you know what? 5 years ago, Lonnie, and this man, I thank him so many times in my life. I had the pleasure of meeting Rick Simpson. And, you know, in 10 or 15 conversations with Rick, he changed my life. And he really opened my eyes up to what can be done with cannabis worldwide. I'm not talking about medical or industrial. I'm talking about full spectrum. But they're both as important as either issue. The medical benefits are incredible. But the industrial use of hemp, if we could implement it worldwide on this planet, honestly,
we could get
rid
of plastic. That's
the
thing.
Get rid of plastic. You can make hemp-based plastics that become biodegradable and become part of the soil. Germany's got a line coming out right now, Lonnie. There's so much. All our energy can be produced with hemp with no toxic effects to the environment. Our clothes can be produced with no toxic environment, no toxic effect. Everything about it, everything about the hemp plant. Like, you can look at anything about it. And if it's implemented into society, it's an absolute no-brainer, win-win. How about building houses that can't burn, Lonnie? How about building in two generations, every house is built with hempcrete, and it doesn't burn? The millions of lives that would be saved, the millions of dollars, and the heartache alone. And that's just one aspect.
I think about what it can do to remediate nuclear contamination. Because I know Scott from St. Louis was getting a company together, and he knows a lot about phytoremediation. He is actually going, I think, to Africa. He's taking his products there because here, like he was thinking of putting, you know, he was trying to get a grant to do phytoremediation and put cannabis plants. It was Canif, because there it's illegal cannabis. So he was using its cousin, right. Canif. And they would put Canif plants to absorb the radiation, one little garden in the corner of three or four houses, and then they would put it into this, it would suck it into, but then they had designed a thing that would it would automatically compost after a while, and then it would also generate back into electricity into the house.
Exactly.
And you know why they didn't get it? Because the neighborhood was freaked out, because that would make it a terrorist target, because somebody could come in and take the nuclear contamination.
Okay.
That is a real consideration for people in America. They're terrorized of, quote, terrorists. A lot of people, I'm telling you, the idea, my concept of that whole idea is far different than most Americans. Most Americans buy the farm completely on the terrorists. We got to protect ourselves from terrorists. And I'm like, what? You mean the CIA? Like, what the hell?
Well, terrorists, they're in the United States of America. No, that's not a debatable fact. And boy, I'll tell you, if you really wanted to cripple a nation, what would be the soft belly of the United States of America? Nuclear power plants. And how easy would it be for them to launch an attack on one of them, Lonnie? That's another thing that we don't talk about. But
well, Hawaii is actually preparing for a nuclear. This is the thing. This whole idea of attacking him. I mean, honestly, this whole thing about nuclear is so incomprehensibly idiotic. I mean, honestly, it just boggles the mind. It is incomprehensible that there is any group of people that are psychopath. I was looking at Catherine Higley last week when I went to a hearing, and I testified against the Oregon State Legislature 990. And it was really a just for show hearing, because they had to hear it. They knew as soon as they saw that room packed with anti-nukers that it was going to not go anywhere. It wasn't even going to get a second hearing. It was a matter of show. They're trying to grease the wheel to build these small nuclear reactors here in Oregon. And this one said, oh, well, the counties or the city, if a county or city, even though Oregon says that in order to bring a nuclear facility into Oregon to build one, you have to guarantee you know what to do with the waste, and that the waste will be non-toxic and non-harmful to the environment. That bill was passed. So that's why they can't build a nuclear facility here. So they had these small nuclear modular reactors that they bury in the ground and said, hey, we're not harming the environment. We're burying it in the ground. That was their argument. And so they wanted to pass this bill, but so many people showed up and said no. And it was the first time I saw Catherine Higley and Jose Reyes from NuScale, the guy who designed the SMRs. And honestly, their disregard, their stone cold face when they heard people, they were stone cold as they heard testimony after testimony. They did stay there, and they did listen, and they did look at all of us. And we looked at them, and it was like, who are you? And their students were convinced that they knew better, that they've been educated. They had students go up and testify about how safe nuclear is, because we've been educated about it. We don't have to live our lives on fear. Really?
Well, fear is their biggest weapon, and knowledge alleviates fear, Lonnie. But we have... Like I said, yeah. I think it's really educating people, really getting people aware of everything that we talk about.
Well, I'm glad you told us about this earthquake here on the West Coast, because I am going to put the alert out and tell everybody that
it's there on Dutch's Sense and on Dutch Sense's site, and you can go look at it. And I tell people you should tune in every night and listen to his forecast, because, like I said, his accuracy is uncanny. And I don't get to tune in every night, but when I think about it every day, I tune in and listen to what he has to say.
I usually watch his podcast every day. I subscribe to him on YouTube, and I listen to his podcast.
It's about an hour. It's and, about
you
an
know,
hour.
You know what I do? So actually, this is really hilarious. I skip through to hear his like forecast. Sometimes if I have an hour, I'll listen to the whole thing. It's pretty fascinating. But usually I just skip through because I do live on a subduction zone. I'm like, I want to know what's going on in Oregon for real, because he's 80% accurate. So if he's calling in, so it's in your area and in my area, northern Canada or around here.
Are you living right on the coast, Lonnie?
I am living, Eugene is 50 miles in, I think.
Are you on an inlet that comes from the coast?
Yeah, I think we're on the Willamette River.
Yeah, but that's not ocean water. That's not an actual inlet.
But how big, if we have a big earthquake, this is the downside. We have dams in Oregon that are not, that have D ratings, that have not been fixed thanks to the Republicans. So if we have an earthquake on lots of dams, like let's just say we have an earthquake, a 7.0 earthquake, which won't damage our houses, the dam upriver, I have 20 minutes to get out of my house with everything that I want.
Well,
so I am going to prepare.
I don't want to get right into the potential of the Cascadia, because it is absolutely mind boggling. You know, if that fault was ever to move, Lonnie, all our lives would change forever. It would never be the same. We're talking about massive devastation of the West Coast. We're talking about a tsunami anywhere from 50 to 100 feet hitting the West Coast.
How big do you think? What are they predicting?
They're predicting right now. Every scientist right now that talks about the Cascadia is predicting a minimum 9.2 when it moves. When the Cascadia subduction zone moves, and it is a subduction zone, when it fractures, Lonnie, it will fracture the entire 600 mile length of the zone will fracture. It's not one of these zones that you'll get an earthquake centered in one area.
You know what?
That whole thing will fracture. You will hit the whole West Coast of the United States. If you really want to know what's going to happen, and I've studied extensively, the whole West Coast will get hit with a minimum 50-foot tsunami within 15 minutes from the start of the fracture to the end of it, where you'll have maybe 45 minute to an hour warning, because they travel at about 6,000 miles an hour. The fracture will travel, and the whole thing will fracture.
Listen to
600
this.
Miles long, 30 miles wide, and it starts in California and goes all the way up to the middle of Vancouver Island. We're talking Vancouver, Seattle, Spokane, any coastal city that's within 50
Listen
miles
to this. It says in this article, it says the 700-mile megathrust fault stretches from northern Vancouver Island south to Cape Mendocino, California.
Exactly.
It's the only type of fault that can unleash earthquakes with a magnitude of 9.0 and higher, thanks to the slow grinding of tectonic plates and the eventual release as one slips to the other, unleashing a mind-blowing amount of energy that can last for more than 5 minutes.
Exactly.
And this came from, in 2015, from his government office in Snohomish County. Kenneth Murphy made the pronouncement that woke up the Pacific Northwest from its earthquake denial slumber.
Well, you know, major media outlets have had shows recommending people leave the West Coast. I mean, this has gone on mainstream. You're hearing every scientist in the world screaming at the top of their lungs of the potential of the Cascadia. And like I said, Lonnie, I've said it to people. I get into a conversation with them about it, and a lot of the people have never even heard of it.
Well, we have about 35 seconds, Barry.
Okay.
Why don't you tell people how to find you? Why don't you tell people how to find you again?
Well, you know, I'm on Facebook. I'm under Barry Prince on Facebook. Great. I don't hide. I'm on there all the time. I have a Facebook page called The Big Puzzle. I do a show on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, on These Changing Times through Haggy Shack Radio, and it's called The Big Puzzle. So.
Man, thank you, Barry, for being on. This is so timely. We didn't expect this conversation to be this way, but I really appreciate it. I am going to call everyone I know and put your courage feet on, you guys. Get earthquake prepared and take action, because it does matter. We can make a difference, and it's up to us to help our children and our lives get better and thrive. Talk to you guys later.
Have a great day.